Thank you, Murilo. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Kritika Kothari. She worked as a graduate student, and she did excellent work. And then Jim Berdowski, who is in the audience. He's my collaborator who provided the data for evaluating the model. And Gerrit Hoogenboom and Clyde Munster are other co-authors. So as shown in this figure, the Texas High Plains region is one of the important cotton growing regions in the country, and it produces about a quarter of the total and about 37% of the irrigated U.S. cotton. And in the High Plains, irrigated cotton is grown almost in about 700,000 acres on an average. So this region faces many challenges, most importantly related to irrigation water supply from the Ogallala Aquifer. And it supplies almost 90% of the irrigation used in the High Plains, and declining water levels in this region and restrictions imposed by the groundwater districts are challenges, and are the main challenges related to the water supply. Added to that, climate change also impacts crop production, mainly expected changes in growing season temperature, rainfall variability, and atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations. They impact crop yields, cause heat stress, irrigation water demand, and pest infestation. So assessing potential adaptation strategies with long-term simulations would be very useful to come up with, you know, adaptation strategies, and these crop grow cotton module available in the DSAT model is very useful for this purpose. So the objectives are to assess the climate change impacts on cotton yield and irrigation water use in the High Plains region at three different sites, and identify adaptation strategies, cotton cultivar traits to maintain yield while efficiently utilizing irrigation water in the High Plains. So we used High Plains evaluated DSAT crop grow cotton module by Kritika as a part of this published paper, which of course focuses on sorghum, but in that experiment, you know, we used the cotton sorghum rotation data to train both cotton and sorghum modules. And we are using the same cotton module in this study. So DSAT, many of you are probably familiar, it is basically a platform that integrates crop models, database management system, and various applications, and it primarily uses the weather data, soil data, cultivar data, and management data to output, you know, relation, output crop phenology, crop yield, crop growth, and also the water, nitrogen, and carbon balances. And the 4.7 version has over 42 different modules in this cropping system model. So the first step was to evaluate the model for the study area, study region. So as I mentioned, we used Jim's data sets from 8 different growing seasons for training the model. So the treatments included a base treatment, which is 60 to 80% ET replacement, and then high and low treatments with 20 to 50% more or high less irrigation compared to the base. So we basically used the data from high irrigation treatment for calibrating the model, and the remaining treatments for validating the model. And as we can see here, we got a pretty decent match between the simulated and observed cotton, seed cotton yields. So the methodology that we adopted in the long-term simulations mainly consists of, you know, the first step was evaluating the model, and then assessing the climate change impact on crop yield and irrigation water use at three different sites, Bushland, Halfway, and Lamesa, in the northern, central, and southern part of the Texas High Plains region, using data from 9 different climate models under 2 different climate scenarios. And then test, you know, 6 different virtual cultivars to assess their suitability for climate change adaptation. So as I mentioned, we used the CMIP5 data set from the 9 different models, and we used the MACA data set. So we considered 2 representative concentration pathways, which are like 8.5 and 4.5. And as shown in this figure, it is expected that the CO2 concentrations would increase to 912 ppm by 2100 under RCP 8.5 and 544 ppm, under RCP 4.5 scenario. So coming to the results, these are the results for bushland. And as we can see here, this is the percent change in irrigated yield under the scenarios that we simulated. And as we can see, all these climate models predict, based on the climate model predicted data, it is expected that the cotton yields would increase by 13 to 26% at a bushland site, primarily due to CO2 fertilization effect. And then when we look at the irrigation water use, most models expect or estimate that, you know, the irrigation water use would increase, but some models predict a reduction in irrigation water use, primarily the GFDL model, projects that the rainfall amounts would increase and the temperature increase would be moderate. So the irrigation water use in general is expected to vary between 11% reduction in some models to 41% increase in irrigation water use. Coming to dryland yield, there is a high variability here. Some models predict, you know, a reduction, and some models predict an increase in seed cotton yield, primarily because the increasing temperature effect sometimes, you know, dominates, you know, the CO2 fertilization effect. And in case of irrigated yields, the higher irrigation water use probably, you know, reduces the temperature effect, and that is the reason why the irrigated yields are expected to increase, while dryland yields are expected to kind of fluctuate between increase and decrease. So on an average across the models, about 19 to 22% increase in irrigated yield and about 18 to 1% reduction in dryland yields, and about 8 to 14% increase in irrigation water across these scenarios. Now when we move on to halfway, results are kind of similar to bushland. Halfway has a little bit higher temperature compared to bushland, but precipitation is about the same. So we have similar results, little bit, you know, changes in the percentages. And then when we move on to La Mesa, this is where the interesting results. In case of irrigated yields, you know, some models predict, you know, increase, while some models predict, you know, the reduction in yield. Basically because, you know, these the soils in La Mesa are more sandier compared to, you know, the other two sites, and also it has higher temperature compared to the other two sites. So the effect of increase in temperature is dominating compared to the CO2 fertilization effect here. And again, the irrigation water use, most models, you know, predict an increase, and the dryland yields are going to fluctuate across the models. So then we tested six different cultivars. Primarily, you know, we used the model parameters to challenge it, to change those parameters to suit to, you know, virtual cultivars. So we considered two drought tolerant cultivars with the characteristics that, you know, efficient and vigorous root system, smaller and thicker leaves would be existent in drought tolerant varieties. So we did this by basically increasing root length per unit root weight, maximum water uptake per unit root length, and maximum leaf photosynthesis rate. So in case of, and of course, we simulated a soil water supply, reduction in soil water supply to potential transpiration ratio. In case of drought tolerant 2, it is the same as the one variety, but, you know, we also reduced the maximum water uptake per unit root length. In case of heat tolerant varieties, see, the basic characteristics we build these cultivars on is that heat tolerant cultivar is expected to have higher retention of balls at higher temperature. So based on that, we increased the optimum failure, upper optimum and failure temperature thresholds in the model by 2 degrees centigrade and 3 degrees centigrade in case of the second heat tolerant variety. In case of high yielding variety, we built it by targeting yield related parameters such as maximum size of full leaf, maximum fraction of partitioning to seed plus shell, and maximum ratio of seed to seed plus shell at maturity. And in case of long maturity, the characteristic that we based on is early flowering and longer productive phase that could optimize crop yields under climate change. And under this cultivar, we increase the growing season length by approximately 10%. So when we tested these six different cultivars at bushland, for example, when we look at the irrigated yields, these are the percent changes compared to the historic. So all these cultivars are expected to, you know, contribute for an increase in yield. And of course, the percentages vary. But most importantly, the high yielding, long maturity, and drought tolerant one cultivars are expected to, you know, increase the yield. The long maturity cultivar, even though it's expected to increase, but it's also going to use higher irrigation water use. So hence, you know, that may not be, you know, useful for this region, which is dependent on groundwater. And coming to halfway, kind of similar results, the percentage is slightly reduced in terms of these cultivars. But again, those three cultivars, you know, showed much improvement in yields, and similar trends as in bushland. Coming to La Mesa, again, similar results. You know, all these virtual cultivars project an increase in simulated irrigated yield, and also the dry land yield is kind of, you know, fluctuating with under some cultivars. But again, the long maturity cultivar, you know, simulated higher irrigation water use under the future climate scenarios. So to conclude, when it comes to climate change impact, irrigated cotton yield is projected to increase within a range of 19 to 22% at bushland, 10 to 13% at halfway, and decrease by 2 to 10% at La Mesa. And cotton irrigation water use is simulated to increase by 5 to 16% across the study sites. And the dryland cotton yield is projected to decrease by 10 to 26% across the study sites. And among the adaptations, the high-yielding cultivar showed promise and benefits across all the sites. And the long-maturity cultivar also showed benefits, but it is projected to use significantly higher irrigation water compared to the reference cultivar. And the long maturity and heat tolerance traits were found to be optimum for dryland crop production. So we acknowledge the funding we received for this study from TAMU Coles, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, which provided assistantship to Kritika. Almost 75% of the assistantship came from that. And we also acknowledge the partial support from the Ogallala Aquifer for this project. Thank you for your attention, and I can take any questions if there's time.
Do you have any questions?
Dr. Brunson.
Bushland, you show the largest projected increase with climate change every year. So I heard you mention about CO2
fertilization.
But surely it will be warmer and longer growing season.
Yeah. I mean, between bushland and halfway, we didn't see much difference, a little bit, you know, slight increase. But in case of La Mesa, you know, we saw a pretty drastic difference, actually. It's actually varied. Maybe I should have said, you know, it's kind of more or less similar at bushland and halfway.
Another quick question is, you show quite a range on dry land, in any case, minus 40, plus 40. But how does the projected compare to now dry land? West Texas is very variable.
Those are comparisons with historic or the current scenarios, actually.
Oh, that's additional.
That's
going to be more variable.
Yeah, here basically there are two effects. One is CO2 fertilization effect, which is adding or which increases the yields. But there is also a negative effect of increase in temperature on crop production. So at bushland, actually, the temperature increase is somewhat less compared to halfway, a little bit less, but. So that's why there, you know, the yields are a little bit higher compared to halfway. So when it comes to La Mesa, the temperature increase effects kind of dominated the CO2 fertilization effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ali.
Thank you.